Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memory of Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Beya Daf Gimel, the first parak Beis Shnol de Biyantiv. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Gemara brings two more explanations for the Mishnah why an egg laid on Yantiv is prohibited. Rav Yosef said, "Gezer mishum peres hanoshim." It's a gezera because it resembles fruit that falls from a tree on Yantiv, which is prohibited by a decree, lest one actually climb a tree and pick a fruit. The Gemara clarifies, kul chad gezerahi, that the case of the egg is subsumed into the gezerah of fallen fruit. Rashi explains that Beis Hillel's ruling does not represent a separate gezerah intended to safeguard the gezerah on fallen fruits. Rather, since the egg is a type of fruit that drops when ripe from its place of nurturing, it's subsumed into the decree on fallen fruits, even though harvesting eggs doesn't involve the malach of kotzer, reaping. Rabbi Yitzhak said, Gezer Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. The egg laid on Yantiv is prohibited because it resembles juice that flowed on Yantiv, which is prohibited because it might lead one to actually squeeze the fruits on Yantiv and transgress the Malacha of Dash, threshing. Here too, the case of the egg was subsumed in the original Gezerah, since an egg resembles the juice in that it issued from a place where it had been absorbed. Point number two. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yosef did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzchak, and answers that Rabbi Yosef would say, Beitza uchla v'peres uchla, fuki mashkin delav uchla. An egg is a food, and fruits are foods, in contrast to juice, which is not a food, but a liquid. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yitzchak did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, and answers that Rabbi Yitzchak would say, Beitza bluya umashkin bluyim lafuki peres demiglu v'kaimu. An egg is absorbed in the hen and issues forth, and juice is absorbed in its peel and issues forth, in contrast to fruits, which are already exposed even before they become detached from their place of growth. Point number three, the Gemara challenges the interpretations of Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak based on the following brisa, which states, concerning an egg that was laid on Shabbos Yantiv, we may not move it, neither to cover the mouth of a kli, nor to support the legs of a bed with it. However, one may invert a kli over the egg so that it shouldn't break, usfeka asura, and in the case of doubt, the egg is prohibited. Rashi explains that the Gemara assumes that the brisa means that there's a suffix when the egg was laid, whether on Yantiv or before. Now the Gemara says that while it's understandable according to Rabbah, who said that the egg was prohibited due to Hachana, it's a suffix deraisa. But kol sveka deraisa l'chumra, and all suffix deraisas we go l'chumra. But according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, who prohibited the egg because of a gezera, why should the suffix be usser? Since kol suffix derabbanan l'kula, every suffix derabbanan is l'kula. After considerable analysis, the Gemara will bring Rav Ashi on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, who explains that the egg is forbidden because it's a davar sheyeshu matirin, an item that will become permitted, meaning after Yantiv, but kol davar sheyeshu matirin afil b'derabban lo batil, and any item that will become permitted, even if it's now prohibited, b'derabbanan, cannot become nullified in a mixture. Rashi explains that just as we are machmir in a mixture, we're also machmir in a case of suffix. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara brings two more explanations for the Mishnah on why an egg laid on Yantiv is prohibited. Rav Yosef said, Gezer mishum peres hanoshrin, it's a gezerah, because it resembles fruit that falls from a tree on Yantiv, which is prohibited by a decree lest one actually climb a tree and pick a fruit. The Gemara clarifies, kula chad gezerahi, that the case of the egg is subsumed in the gezerah of fallen fruit. Rashi explains that Beis Hillel's ruling does not represent a separate gezerah intended to safeguard the gezerah of fallen fruits. Rather, since the egg is a type of fruit that drops when ripe from its place of nurturing, it's subsumed in the decree on fallen fruits, even though harvesting eggs doesn't involve the malach of kotzer, reaping. Rabbi Yitzhak said, Gezer mishum mashkin shazavu. The egg laid on Yantiv is prohibited because it resembles juice that flowed on Yantiv, which is prohibited because it might lead one to actually squeeze the fruits on Yantiv and transgress the malach of dash, threshing. Here too, the case of the egg was subsumed in the original Gezerah, since an egg resembles the juice in that it issued from a place where it had been absorbed. Pointing to the grass, why Rabbi Yosef did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzchak, and answers that Rabbi Yosef would say, Beitza uchlo peres uchlo lafukim mashkin delav uchlo. An egg is a food, and fruits are foods, in contrast to juice, which is not a food, but a liquid. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yitzchak did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, and answers that Rabbi Yitzchak would say, Beitza bluya mashkin bluyin lafuki peros de miglu v'kaimu. An egg is absorbed in the hen and issues forth, and juice is absorbed in its peel and issues forth, in contrast to fruits, which are already exposed even before they become detached from their place of growth. And point number three, the Gemara challenges the interpretations of Rav Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak based on the following brisa, which states, concerning an egg that was laid on Shabbos Yantiv, we may not move it, neither to cover the mouth of a kli, nor to support the legs of a bed with it. However, one may invert a kli over the egg so that it should not break, usfeka asura. And in a case of doubt, the egg is prohibited. Rashi explains that the Gemara assumes that the brisa means that there is a suffix when the egg was laid, whether on Yantiv or before. The Gemara says that while it's understandable according to Rab, who said that the egg was prohibited due to hachana, it's a safek deraisa, because sveka deraisa l'chumra, and all safek deraisas we go l'chumra, but according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, who prohibited the egg because of a gezera, why should the safek be usher? Since kol safek derabanan l'kula, every safek derabanan is l'kula. After considerable analysis, the Gemara will bring Rav Ashi on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, who explains that the egg is forbidden because it's a davar sheyesh matirin, an item that will become permitted after yantiv. But kol davar sheyesh matirin afil b'derabanan l'batil, and any item that will become permitted, even if it's now permitted b'derabanan, cannot become nullified in a mixture. Rashi explains that just as we are machmir in a mixture, we're also machmir in a case of safek. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Dav Gimel, and our standard simmon is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly noticed an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit, and was a suffix whether it had been laid on yantiv. Once again, it's emotion. The camel rider, that must be run Dav Gimel, gamal. The camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice. Which reminds the Gemara brings two more explanations for the Mishnah on why an egg laid on yantiv is prohibited. Rav Yosef said, Gezer mishum peres anoshin is a gezer because it resembles fruit that falls from a tree on yantiv, which is prohibited by a decree lest one actually climb a tree and pick a fruit. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, Gezer mishum mashkin shazavu. The egg laid on yantiv is prohibited because it resembles juice that flowed on yantiv, which is prohibited because it might lead one to actually squeeze the fruits on yantiv and transgress the malach of dash, threshing. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly knows an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why Rav Yosef didn't explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzchak, and answers that Rav Yosef would say an egg is food and fruits are food in contrast to juice, which is not a food but a liquid. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yitzchak did not explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yosef, and answers that Rabbi Yitzchak would say an egg is absorbed in the hen and issues forth, and juice is absorbed in its peel and issues forth, in contrast to fruits, which are already exposed even before they become detached from their place of growth. So, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly noticed an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit, and was a suffix whether it had been laid on yantiv. Which reminds the Gemara, why is an egg that was a suffix whether it was laid on yantiv usher according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak? Why should the suffix be usher since kol suffix the rabban l'kula? Every suffix the rabban is l'kula. After considerable analysis, the Gemara brings Rav Ashi and Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, who explains that the egg is forbidden because it is a davar sheyesh matirin, an item that will become permitted, meaning after yantiv, but called davar sheyesh matirin afil b'de rabban l'batil, and any item that will become permitted, even if it's now prohibited in the rabbanan, cannot become nullified in a mixture. Rashi explains that just as we're machmir in a mixture, we're also machmir in a case of a suffix. So once again, the camel rider trying to dodge fruit falling from a tree and stepping in puddles of flowing juice suddenly noticed an egg on the road labeled half food, half fruit, and was a suffix whether it had been laid on yantiv. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Nun Dalet. So the simmer Daf Nun Dalet is noodles. So here goes. The noodle-loving king, that must be run Daf Nun Dalet. Noodles. The noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets three times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, which reminds us, the Gemara points out that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that listed the 48 blasts that took place every Shabbos during the Chag mentions three blasts that took place by the Mizbeach, whereas the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis mentions the three blasts that were sounded when the trumpeters reached the 10th step. The Gemara explains that this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov, who holds that since the blowing was done at the gates, what relevance is there to blow on the 10th step? Therefore, the Mizbeach is adif, is preferable, and the previous Mishnah is Rabban, who hold that since the blowing was for the water drawing, the 10th step is related to that, whereas the Mizbeach is not. So the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets three times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, and then blow nine times again for each additional offering, which reminds us, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina brings a braisa and a pasuk which he uses to base his ruling that nine blasts of the trumpets are done for each separate musaf. The Gemara will bring several challenges to this ruling, attempting to show that on certain days it would result in more than the 48 maximum soundings of the chatzrotzrotz mentioned in the Mishnah. So the noodle-loving king who required his subjects to blow trumpets three times on the 10th step when they offered him noodles, and then blow nine times again for each additional offering, changed the fast day schedule so he would never have to abstain from noodles on a Sunday. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that when the first day of Sukkot is scheduled to fall on Erev Shabbos, Madchil Dechinile, we postpone it one day until Shabbos, since if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos, then Yom Kippur would have been on the previous Sunday. In order to prevent that from happening, we add a day to Elul in order to postpone it one day. Rashi explains that it's not desirable for Yom Kippur to fall Shabbos, since anyone dying on Shabbos would remain unburied for 2 days until after Yom Kippur. And furthermore, any vegetables that one prepares to eat after Yom Kippur will have to be picked 2 days earlier on Friday and will wilt by the time they're needed. The Gemara will bring the opinion of others who do not hold of adjusting the calendar to prevent Yom Kippur from falling on a Sunday. Daf Nun Hey. So the Siman Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, that must be on Daf Nun Hey. The proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, which reminds us that after the Gemara successfully refutes the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina, who taught that a separate set of trumpet blasts are blown for each musaf offering, it asks how to understand the brice and the pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan bar Chanina brought as a source for his teaching. Rabina said, "Lomar shemarichim betekias." The brice and the pasuk mean only that the blasts are lengthened, not that they're repeated. The Rabban of Kasariah said, and then Rabbi Acha, "Lomar shemarbe betokin." The brice means to say that when there's more than one musaf, we increase the number of trumpeters, but not the number of trumpet blasts. So the proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, gave up when he saw 70 bulls head toward him, which reminds us that the 70 bulls that are brought in sukkahs correspond to the Shivim Umos, the 70 nations, and they provide kapor for them in order that rain may fall throughout the world. The single bull of Shmini Atzeres is Keneged Uma Yechida. It corresponds to the singular nation of Israel. This can be compared to a king of flesh and blood who said to his servants to prepare for him a big banquet. When the final day of the banquet came, he said to his beloved companion, "Asli Sudu Katana Kadei She'ena Mimcha. Prepare for me a small meal so they may enjoy your company." Rashi explains that it is as if to say that I derive pleasure from your company alone. So the proud crossing guard holding the speed limit sign, who would blow one long note on his whistle until all the additional animals crossed the road, gave up when he saw 70 bulls head toward him, guided by 24 ranchers who like to share meat equally on their holidays. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that during three periods of the year referring to the Regalim, all 24 Mishmaros were equal in the sharing of the Emurim of the Regalim and in the division of the Lechem Upanim. It was taught in a brice that the Torah states, "Ubaba ko avos navsho v'sheres," and he comes with all the desire of his soul, and he shall serve. This teaches that a kohen may offer kabbanis even if it's not the week of his watch. To dispel the notion that this is even on other days of the year other than the regalim, the Torah states, "Me'achad sha'arecha," from one of your cities. "Lo amarti el b'shar shekol Yisrael nichnasim b'shar echad." I've only said all mishmaros are equal when they enter one gate, which is the time of their regalim. During all other times, only kohanim of that week's watch are entitled to offer the kabbanis. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is the Shusher and Shul going, "Nu Nu, Nu Nu." So here goes. The Shusher and the Sukkah Shusher. That must be more on Daf Nun Vav, Nu Nu. The Shusher and the Sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehecheyanu before the Reisha B'Sukkah, which reminds us of the Machlokes regarding which takes precedence, the Barach on the Sukkah or the Shehecheyanu. Rav says that one recites the Reisha B'Sukkah because he holds Chiyuv D'Yom Ha'Adif, the obligation of the day takes precedence. Whereas Rabbi Baruch Hanan said that one recites the Shehecheyanu first because he holds Tadir Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodim, when that which is frequent conflicts with that which is not frequent, that which is frequent takes precedence. The Gemara attempts to connect this Machlokes to the Machlokes between Beisham Beis Hillel regarding which comes first when reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, the Barach on the one and the Barach on the day, but concludes that they're not necessarily the same Machlokes. So the Shusher and the Sukkah shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehecheyanu before the Reisha B'Sukkah, and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the Sukkah door, which reminds us, the final mission of the Masechta brings the Machlokes regarding the division on the Lechem Upanim the rest of the year. The Tanakhama holds that the incoming Mishmar and the outgoing Mishmar split the Lechem Upanim equally, with each one receiving 6 loaves. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the incoming Mishmar receives 7 loaves and the outgoing Mishmar receives 5 loaves. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 2 loaves are granted as schar hagafas dlasos, as compensation for the closing the temple gates in the evening, meaning that those who open the gates in the morning should have had the duty to complete the job and close them at night. Since the incoming Mishmar is doing the work of the outgoing Mishmar, it behooves the outgoing Mishmar to give one of their loaves in payment. So the Shusher and the Sukkah who shushed everyone down so they could hear the Shehecheyanu before the Reisha B'Sukkah and insisted on getting one extra roll for closing the Sukkah door was horrified when his little son told all the guests that people should stand in the presence of a Shusher. Which reminds us, 2 reasons are given as to why the Mishmar of Bilga was penalized in that it always divided the Lechem Upanim in the south. Its specific ring that was used to shech the carbon during its watch was sealed, so they had to use another Mishmar's ring, and a specific alcove to deposit the knives was sealed. It was either due to an incident involving Miriam Bas Bilga, a daughter of one of its members who became an apostate, or it was because the Mishmar was tardy in coming to the Beis HaMikdash when it was their week to serve. The Gemara asks on the first reason, if it's fair that the entire family be penalized over one daughter's action, and Bai answers that it is, as people say, Shusa denuka b'shuka o de'avu o de'ime. The utterances of a child in public express the views of either his father or mother. When the Gemara persists, and that's why the whole Mishmar should be penalized, Bai answers, Oy la rasha, oy la shcheno. Woe to the wicked one, and woe to his neighbor. The Gemara concludes, conversely, Tov la tzadik, tov la shcheno. It will be good for the tzadik and good for his neighbor. Daf Beis. So the Simmer Daf Beis is a house. So here goes. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house. House? That must mean we're on Daf Beis. The kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav, which reminds the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'er shenolda b'yantav be'shamay omrim te'achil, be'sil omrimo te'achil. Concerning egg that was laid in Yantav, be'shamay say it may be eaten on Yantav, and be'sil say it may not be eaten. The Gemara asks, what type of hen are we dealing with? Rav Nachman said that the Mishnah refers to a hen that was omeres l'gadol beitzim, that was designated to produce eggs, and the one who subscribes to a broad application of the laws of muksa, referring to Rabbi Yehuda, subscribes to also to the prohibition of nolad, while the one who rejects a broad application of muksa laws, referring to Rabbi Shimon, also rejects a prohibition of nolad. Beis Shammai permit one to eat the egg because they hold like Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of nolad, whereas Beis Hillel forbid it because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of nolad. So the kids were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav. Were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi who was more machmir on Yantav, which reminds the Gemara asks why Rebbe who formulate the Stam Mishnayos formulate those in Shabbos more leniently, like Rabbi Shimon, whereas those regarding Yantav he formulate according to the more stringent view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers regarding Shabbos, whose laws are more restrictive, and so people will not come to treat it disrespectfully. Rebbe formulate a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon, who is more lenient. However, regarding Yantav, whose laws are somewhat more liberal, and so people will come to treat it disrespectfully, Rebbe formulate a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is more stringent. So the kids who were jumping for joy all over the house when they discovered that their hen laid an egg on Yantav were dismayed when they were told by an anonymous rabbi who was more machmir on Yantav that it was forbidden to eat since it had been prepared the day before on Shabbos. Which reminds us, Rabbi's explanation of the Mishnah is that we're actually dealing with a tarnagolas of medes l'achila, a hen that was designated for consumption and is therefore not muksa. And we're discussing a case of an egg that was laid on Yantav that fell after Shabbos. And Beis Hillel prohibits its consumption, mishum hachana, because of the principle of preparation. For Rabbi holds that any egg laid today became fully formed inside the hen yesterday. And Rabbi follows his own reasoning, for he said, that which is written by Yabba Yom HaShishi Be'echinu Asher Yaviyu, and it will be on the sixth day that they shall prepare the man which they bring, which teaches us that Chol Mechin L'Shabbos V'Chol Mechin L'Yantav. A weekday prepares for Shabbos and a weekday prepares for Yantav, but Yantav cannot prepare for Shabbos, nor can Shabbos prepare for Yantav. Beis Hillel therefore prohibit an egg laid on Yantav since its preparation occurred on Shabbos. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.